Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and more. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now celebrating 16 years of broadcasting, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again, both for our radio audience and those tuning in online. We're glad you all could be with us as well. Today is a big day for my next guest. Anne A.H. Kim is celebrating the release of her debut novel called A Good Family. She's joining us here today to talk to us not only about the book, but what it's been like for her to share this story with the world. I'm going to be telling you guys a little bit about it. So many great things about A Good Family. I know you guys are going to really enjoy the book. We'll let you know how to stay connected with Anne, as well as, of course, how to get your own copy. But Anne, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Cyrus, for having me on. I'm super excited to talk to you.
Well, the pleasure is definitely all mine. Well, I was just talking to you a little bit before we went on here about the big day being here. How does it feel to have lived with this story, Anne, and now to be able to release it to readers literally around the world?
You know, authors talk about their books being their book babies, and it really does feel like it's a child. Except this child has been gestating inside of me for about 8 years, so it's a long and hard delivery.
Well, I know you're glad to have it out there. Well, you know, there are so many great layers to this book, and I shared with you before we went on here, the challenge and the blessing I have of being able to read books ahead of time is knowing what the book's about. That's the great thing, but then not spoiling it for those who haven't read it. So I'm going to definitely do my best in this chat with you, Anne, not to do that. I love the layers of this story, and I think even the title, A Good Family, I think one of the big things that comes out is, by whose determination is good? What was it like for you to dive into that in itself and to kind of reveal itself in the story?
Yes, yeah, so the original working title for the book was actually False Claims, and that's based on the False Claims Act, which is the whistleblower lawsuit kind of law. And so it was about sort of the false fronts that we provide to the world and sort of digging beneath those false appearances and really getting to the heart of a family. So, you know, we have so many views of people out there, for example, like Hollywood families. And then with the Varsity Blues scandal, we saw how many layers of, I don't know, falsehood and you know, privilege are seeping into what seems like a perfect family.
Right, right. And I think, too, I mean, that is one of the cool things about this book, because we have these individuals, a couple, I mean, like Beth and Sam, who on the outside everyone looks at and they think, wow, you know, they're doing such amazing things. But as the story unfolds, we're able to see that is definitely not the case. And the other thing that I think readers will really appreciate about this book, Anne, is that you allow us to see it from different perspectives. And I thought that was interesting for a couple of reasons. One is it allows us to be able to get to know the characters better, but two, it reminds us that there are always different sides to events that we might see. So was that an easy decision for you to decide to kind of let different characters kind of share the story?
No, in fact, when I first wrote the story, it was written from one perspective. It was a third-person omniscient narrator. And so it was told kind of from a kind of dispassionate perspective. And then I actually read Gone Girl. And, you know, that book had been so popular at the time. And I read it almost like a lesson, like how do you write a page-turner, something that people get really excited about? And it was providing that kind of first-person narrative that I thought was that really propelled the story forward, but also they're kind of untrustworthy narrators. So I liked that as well about Gone Girl. So what I did was I took the book and I split it up into the different narrators.
Yeah. And I think that is what definitely allows us to be able to get to know what's happening better. I think it also has to be exciting, too, for you, because it allows you to kind of be able to kind of see the world as these characters. You know, I have heard authors talk about on this program over the years and about writing what they know and that, you know, books speak to them. Was there a character in particular that spoke to you more?
So Hannah is the Korean-American law librarian, and I am Korean-American and a lawyer. So I think that's the natural character that I gravitate toward. Mm-hmm. But Beth, you know, Beth is kind of this, like, sleek, glamorous, blonde, executive. And what I loved about her character is that I get to say all the snarky things that I think in my brain, but don't have the guts to say in person.
Wow. Well, you know, I'm so glad you mentioned that about Hannah and also about Beth, because there is an interesting, and I think I can talk about this without spoiling it. See, this is one of the things. So there is this moment when Hannah realizes in a conversation with Ava that things aren't always as we think they are, that we can get an idea of something. I think you'll know what I'm talking about. But then when we get more information, we realize it is so different than what we do. When Hannah's having a conversation with Ava, she realizes that about Beth. What was that like for you to kind of share little revelations like that? Because a lot of times when we hear the saying, and a picture is worth a thousand words, the picture doesn't always tell the true story.
Yes. So Ava is Beth's older sister, and Ava and Beth have a troubled relationship. And so I know what scene you're thinking about. And it really goes back to some of the experiences that I've had in my life. So I'm a cancer survivor, and I would go to these cancer survivor support group meetings, and I would see these women who on the outside, just it seemed like their lives were perfect. You know, they had beautiful families, beautiful homes and everything. But then when you really dig under the surface, a lot of folks have very complicated backgrounds, you know, alcoholism, you know, mental illness,
right.
abuse. And you don't see that on the surface. That's not what people show the world. And yet, once you get below the surface, most of us have complex stories. So
and
it's
I think
fun.
That,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, for me, as somebody who is an immigrant and Asian American, I think that I grew up thinking that, you know, people who looked blonde and blue-eyed and, you know, dressed very well, that their lives were perfect. I sort of bought into the fiction of that. And, you know, of course, as you get older, you realize that nobody's life is perfect.
Yeah, so true. And that is definitely what we find out even about Beth and Sam. We're able to see that in a big way. I want to say for those who are just tuning in on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. Already having a great conversation today with Ann A.H. Kim. She's the author of the brand new book called A Good Family. It's available now through our friends at Amazon.com or through your favorite bookstore. But we'll be reminding you all of that a little bit later. Another thing that comes up in the book, and again, I think I can talk about this successfully and without saying anything, is you mentioned with Hannah in particular, the great thing about we're able to see is that in some ways she's seen as a voice of reason, especially when dealing with Sam, but also trying to figure out how Sam could get things so wrong, right? There's a time even when the trouble starts early in the book, you know, trying to figure out how Sam got himself in this mess. And then later on, trying to help him when he's navigating things like all of us deal with, right, when it comes to budgeting and financing. But also kind of being a listening ear for Sam when he's kind of talking about life. And I'm going to get into that point a little bit later. What was that like for you to kind of show that we always have someone around us who kind of able to bring us back to center, one, if we're able to listen, but two, if they're willing to speak up?
Yeah, so the interesting thing about that relationship is that it's very close and very emotional, but at the same time, dysfunctional. And so Hannah, as the older sister, has spent her life kind of taking care of her younger brother, Sam. And, you know, she intervenes at various turns in his life to help him get into college, to help him when he, you know, runs into financial difficulties, et cetera. But I mean, I think that, and I see that a lot with either siblings or, you know, other close relatives. But I think what happens sometimes when you are so involved in somebody's life is that you kind of stunt them and they're not able to kind of learn how to fend for themselves. They're not, you know, sometimes you see it with helicopter parents too, where the helicopter parents structure their children's lives so much that the kids, once they get out of the house, don't know how to fend for themselves.
Right. And I think, again, that is what makes these characters so relatable. It definitely makes Hannah relatable, because I think we all have misjudged situations and people, but also try to be that person to fix everything, right, even when we don't know how to do it. You know, I think, you know, there is also this idea of, I don't know if impatience comes to mind, but I think Hannah and Beth kind of share that in some sense. There's that great thought that you had from Beth about, you know, why can't people just get to the point? You know, there seems to be always this thing of, you know, people, you know, taking too long to get to what needs to happen. So I want to talk about Beth and Sam, because I think, again, you have this interesting thing, especially with Sam, right, this sense of guilt, but then also this overwhelming responsibility he feels of being kind of thrust into this new role. What was Sam like for you to kind of be able to show his evolution from the beginning of the book to the end?
Yeah, so I love the character of Sam because, again, growing up in seeing pop culture, I felt that Asian men were often depicted in a not very flattering way. You know, they're often kind of nerdy, or, you know, they're not good with the girls and things like that. So I really wanted to create a character, a male Asian character, who was super hot and who all the women lusted after. So I mean, you know, like the scene where he shows up and, you know, he jumps into the pool and he comes out, you know, of the pool with a shirt like stuck to his body. I wanted that to be very much like almost like a cinematic moment where, you know, everybody can kind of gasp and see how handsome he is. And so a lot of Sam is about his kind of surface appeal. You know, he's very charming. He's very athletic. He's good looking. But I mean, he does really love his wife, Beth, and that makes him endearing. And in the end, he also really loves his sister, Hannah, and he appreciates all that she's done for him. So that also makes him very endearing. So hopefully I've tried to kind of flesh him out a little bit, no pun intended, beyond just that surface handsomeness. But I did intentionally try to make him just this incredibly handsome person. So when the movie version of this is made, I can, you know, cast a really hot Asian guy.
I like that they were already thinking that way. I like it. Well, you know, there is one thing I will bring up. Well, hey, look, well, this was a dream, and look at what happened here, right? I mean, so, I mean, it definitely shows what's possible. I'm not even going to even go into detail into this next thing. I think you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And that is the new role that Sam found himself in. And in talking with Hannah, you know, he's able to express the fact that, you know, even though you can love your family, right, even though you want to do the best thing, that doesn't mean it's easy. And also it can be overwhelming. You know, there, you know, I love that line where he says, you know, people think, I think you know what I'm talking about, people think they know what it's like to be this. But they, unless you're in the situation, you don't. I love that as a declaration for all of us, because I think a lot of us are quick to say, I know exactly what you're going through, or I know what that's like, you know. But a lot of times we don't really know what it's like. What was it like for you to kind of show that vulnerability with him, especially when it came to realizing where he did not feel as strong?
Yeah, so the scene that you're describing is when, this is not a spoiler, Beth goes to prison, and so Sam has to raise their two daughters by himself, and he gets help from Hannah, he gets help from the housekeeper and the nanny and those folks, but ultimately it comes down to him. And I think what I was trying to express there is you can love your children unconditionally, but they are hard work. And I think right now in particular, with the pandemic, and with people in quarantine, you know, working parents who have to, you know, have their children underfoot right now, and they have to homeschool them, and the kids are constantly asking for snacks, and they're asking for, you know, something to do. You love your children, but it's exhausting. And even if you have help, even if you have a nanny, ultimately it comes down to you. And if it's just one person, a single person serving as the parent, you know, I think all of us who have been parents who know what that feeling is. It's just that feeling of, I love the kids so much, but sometimes I just want to get away from them.
Yeah, right. And again, I think that is one of the interesting things about this book, and it goes to how we kind of began this conversation. And because things aren't always as they appear, just because it looks like people have, you know, a few extra dollars, and that does not mean that life is better. It does not mean that we don't have, you know, issues, you know, that other people have. And I think, you know, that knowing that we are collective, was that one of the messages that you wanted to kind of come out, that the we is really us all, that we are, you know, exactly, you know, what we aspire to be or want to be. This is not like it's an us against them.
Yes, absolutely. I live in San Francisco, and the amount of wealth here is just, you know, kind of astounding. And yet when you sometimes, you know, peek under the surface of some of these very wealthy families, you know, they have loans up the hilt, or, you know, they have family issues. And again, it's, the message is that people might appear to be one way on the surface, and yet when you really get to know them, there's so many complexities and you know, skeletons in the closets and dysfunctions or challenges that each of us faces in life.
Yeah, so true. Last thing I want to talk to you about, Anne, is something that both of us do, and that is use social media, because now that the book's available, you were already talking about it before. I know you'll be doing more of that now, that you'll be engaging. What has that been like for you to kind of see the response from your fans that are already building, but also your colleagues, your fellow authors?
Yeah, so, you know, I naively thought that to be an author, all you had to do was write a book and then somebody would publish it for you. That is so far from the truth. So I think I spent about a year writing the book. And then it took me, I think, probably almost 2 years to get an agent, to, you know, to get a book deal, to work with my editor, and then to finally have it published. So that's you know, part one of being an author. And then as the launch date of today approached, you know, I was told you should have a social media presence. And, you know, I just used Facebook and just Facebook, I guess, just for personal things. I didn't use Instagram or Twitter. So I had to create those author accounts. And so I've been working for the past several months kind of trying to develop a presence and trying to develop kind of something that felt real to me. I'm not by nature somebody who likes to self-promote. That feels awkward to me. There's a line in the book that says, Hannah doesn't like to be the center of attention. And yeah, that's very much true of me as well. So what I was able to do was to use the past few months to shed light on other authors that I've gotten to know through the, you know, various author circles. And that feels true to me. That feels exciting to me to introduce my friends and acquaintances to new authors. So that's been a really fun part of this author experience, is making connections with other authors and introducing them to the world or to my friends.
Wow. Well, it's been great to be able to stay connected with you. I know we both shared about this conversation, and I know you'll have a lot more that you'll be sharing about. You mentioned something interesting, and I can't let you go without following up on this before we wrap up here. You know, as you're kind of already releasing this book, you know, we as readers, we are very selfish people. And as you probably know as a reader yourself, so we take a good book that it took you a year, you say, to write. It took me, I think, 4 days to read. And so then, of course, I say, oh, that was really good. Now, when's the next one coming? are you already thinking about what's next?
So I've actually already written another book, and it's
okay.
With my agent right now. Yeah, it's a different tone. It's less. I think of A Good Family as kind of like a black comedy wrapped with some, you know, some family drama. But it's at its core, it's a little bit cynical at its core. So the book that I just wrote is a little bit softer, I think, around the edges. And it's a modern retelling of Sense and Sensibility. And
okay.
It's set in a cancer retreat center. So it's got kind of,
wow.
You know... Yeah. So with that book, I've written the book. It's with my agent now. And, you know, fingers crossed that we can get a publishing deal for that one.
All right. Well, I'm excited to see what's to come. But in the meantime, we definitely want to invite our audience to get A Good Family, but written by author A.H. Kim. You can get it through our friends at Amazon.com. If you guys are connected with us online, the link to the book is actually available with this podcast. So you guys can just click on the link there to be able to go directly over to Amazon to get your own copy. You can also head over to your favorite bookstore if they don't have it. Definitely, they'll be glad to order it for you. And Anne, how can our audience stay connected with you?
So I am ahkim.writer at Instagram, and that's probably the best way because I post the most there.
Okay. All right. So make sure you guys are following her on Instagram, and I will make sure I'm following you on Instagram as well. And this has been a real pleasure. Thank you so much for giving us a great book. Thank you for a great conversation, and looking forward to having you back on the program again.
Thank you so much, Cyrus. I really appreciate it. This is my first event of my launch day, so it's very exciting for me.
Oh, wow.
Thanks.
Oh, well, look, I didn't know that, so that makes me feel even better. So thank you. Hopefully, we've made it easy for you, and that's always the goal, to make it as easy as possible.
Well, this morning I woke up and opened up Amazon, and I saw I had one review. And it was from you, Cyrus. So thank you so much for that. And that's why I call you my number one fan.
Well, look, I will gladly accept that and wear that badge very proudly. And congratulations to you again. And definitely looking forward to staying connected with you online.
All right. Thanks so much, Cyrus.
Hey, thank you. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. Let's make today amazing. Take care.